My thought for today is that God makes a difference. I wonder what life would be like for me sometimes if I had never been saved. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I knew what it was like before I got saved. But I wonder what would have transpired in my life, and where I would be today, and what different things may happen in my life if it wasn't for the Lord. God makes a difference. A few years ago, they had an advertising campaign. You'd see these billboards, seen it in the paper sometime, and it was generally of a famous person, and they had a milk mustache. Anybody ever see that?
Yes.
And it would say, "Got milk." It was a milk advertising campaign. To be honest with you, I always thought it was a little disgusting. I never thought that really made me want to drink milk because somebody had it on their face. But that was advertising, and the idea was, "Got milk." It was saying that was what you ought to have. I was talking to an older feller this last week, and he started telling me these stories. Told me a story of Brother Jim White. Said Brother Jim White lived over there in Cass, and times was hard, and jobs was hard to find. And a lot of people there around the area needed jobs. And Brother Jim needed a job. And he said that Brother Jim was at the house one day, and a guy comes over and comes to his house. Brother Jim welcomed him in. He come in, and the guy sits down and says, "Do you need a job?" He said, "Yeah, I need a job." And he said, "If you want a job," said, you come over tomorrow and start to work." And the old feller said, "A lot of people there in Cass needed a job. What made the difference?" God. God made a difference. Brother Jim needed a job, and God knew he needed a job. Guy came in and he got a job that way. He told another story of a man that had worked for a construction company. And one of the saints worked for a construction company, and the boss come to him and said, I can't pay you." Told all the men, said, I haven't got no money. I can't pay you. "But if you'll stay with the job, it'll come around and I'll make it right to you." Well, all the other men said, "Work without getting paid? I don't think so." So all the other ones, they left. But this one guy said, "Well, I just as well be working as sitting at the house." So he stayed faithful and kept working and couldn't be paid. Well, the boss come to him and said, "I appreciate what you're doing, and I'll make it right to you." And he kept working. And there come a day that hard times. There come a day that the boss come and said, "You're going to have a good day today." He said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" He said, "Because I got money. I've got money to pay you with, and I'm going to pay you more than you worked for. I'm going to pay you." And so he paid him all for the work that he had done and paid him a lot extra for being faithful. And he said there was a lot of men there around that didn't have a good day. They didn't get no money. But this saint walked out of there with a big handful of money. He said, "What made the difference? What made the difference?" God makes a difference. How many marriages have been saved because of God? How many relationships have been restored because of God? How many bodies that were being destroyed and corrupted by bad living have been saved because of God? God makes a difference, folks, in our lives. He makes a drastic difference. Whatever from this day forward is in your life, it'll be extremely better because of God. Without God, you don't know. But God makes a difference in our life. And I want us to think about it this morning. The more we incorporate God into our lives, the more difference He makes. I mean, I don't see anything that says that a man has to work without being paid. But see, God wants more than just the do's and don'ts in our life. God wants to be able to lead our lives. Doesn't He? Doesn't God want to be able to lead our lives? And even though we're not seeing the particular benefits at the time, we may not be seeing the benefits of the time. Someone comes and says, the boss may come and say, I haven't got the money to pay you, but I will pay you when I get it. And it may say, I don't think so. But the Lord might inspire too to say, you stay with Him. I got something in here for you. I want you to be faithful. You know, a lot of times we look and don't see the benefit of our labors. But you know, God makes a difference in our lives. I'm so glad that God's made a difference in my life. I'm not saying I haven't struggled, because I've had some struggles and I've had some battles. But I can tell you this right now. God's made a big difference in my life about where I'm at, what I'm doing, who I am, and how I am. God's made a huge difference in my life. I could hardly even imagine what my life would be like and what I'd be like as a person if it hadn't been for the Lord. I'm so glad for God.
Yes.
Now, Sister Adina told us a little testimony a while ago of something that she never does and don't like to do. Now, I can say amen. I travel a lot, okay? So, I can say amen to Sister Adina's idea of not wanting to stop. We've eaten a lot of times in the van going because every minute that we're sitting somewhere, we're not going somewhere that we want to get to. And you know, we was coming here, which is just 5 hours or so from home. And my son said, "Well, I already know trip at all. We're not going anywhere." No, because 5 hours, 300 miles is not really much of a trip for us. So, maybe take time to eat. Well, that'd be one thing. But a lot of our trips is 20 hours or 16 hours, or all through the night and part of the day, and those kind of things. And so wasting time is not something, or spending time. So I relate with Sister Dina. And it's kind of hard to do it. But I like to think that the Lord would have the right, if He needed to alter something that's set in me really hard, I'd like to think that the Lord would have the right to do that. Because if He doesn't have the right to do that, I'd be in trouble. So God's valuable to us. And Sister Dina gave us the idea there that she'd done something, she was impressed to do something. So they stopped and eat when they normally never would do that. And she said she didn't even know why she said, "You want to stay here and eat." She said, "Don't know why did I do that?" Then there's this massive accident just up the road when they get going again. You can't help from wondering, would she have been in it? And we can't answer those questions, but I can tell you something. God makes a difference.
Thank the Lord.
God? Be good to have Him. It'd be good to have God. And I know I don't want to say that in the wrong way, as if we're taking ownership of God. You know what I'm talking about, though. You got a relationship with God? Is God making a difference in your life? He wants to. He wants to make a difference in your life. Change the course. Change the pattern. You know, we're not smart enough individually or collectively to know what the full results of our actions are. We don't know. But we do know if we do it right, the results will be good. If we do it wrong, the results will be bad. Look with me, if you will, over a scripture, familiar scripture in 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. This is the story of a young man named David, who in one verse says that he was ruddy young lad, and he's a youngest son of Jesse, and Jesse's other sons are in the army. They're getting ready to take on the Philistines, and for 40 days there was a champion of the Philistines, Goliath, giant, 9'9" tall, huge man that was a warrior from his youth and was a grown man. And you have to realize the scene here, because Goliath was a full-grown man at the peak of his strength. And David was a young boy, not nearly there. David comes up to go. Jesse sends him up with some food to go up and greet his brothers with. And so he goes up to where the battle's at. And I kind of picture a valley between. And there on the hills, the Philistines. And over here is Israel. And all there sat there before him. And battle sat there. And out comes Goliath making his curses and his declarations. And saying, send a man. You're saying you're mighty, you're warriors, you've got some men up there? Well, send me one. I mean, it must have been pretty humiliating to come out there. Okay, I'm a Philistine. You're an Israelite. I'm a man of war. You got one? Send him down here. You've not got anybody? Anybody 40 days comes out and makes a challenge. You're scared? I've been coming out here for days now. You win, we serve you. You win, you serve us. Easy enough. We'll just have a competition. Send somebody. Cowards? Chickens? You ain't got a God. Your God ain't nothing. If you had a God, he'd help you. He ain't got no help. Come on. You can say all kinds of things. Trash talking's what it is. That's a modern term. He was trash talking them. Come on. What do you got? Run them up. And you know, honestly, till David got there, they didn't have anybody. Well, what, 40 days? Surely somebody's going to. I think they kept looking and saying, won't you do it? No, I ain't going to do it. I mean, I don't want to take that guy on. I don't know. I ain't got anything. I haven't got anything. What am I going to go down there to face a giant with? But there come one that had something. And he was just a young lad. And he come up there and he sees immediately when he gets up there, Providence had it that David comes up, and out he comes. Here comes Goliath. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine coming out here talking like that? What's gonna happen to the man that kills this guy? Well, the king's gonna give this. Well, why isn't somebody doing something? David says, I'll go do it. Oh, that must have stirred them other guys up. This little boy comes up there and says, I'll go do it. God makes a difference, folks. We're going to face giants. Mocking giants. Yes. We're going to face things. We're going to have the devil right in the middle of it mocking. We're going to have things that's bigger than we are. And when we look at it, we're going to say, I have no ability to do anything about this. This is huge. We're going to face those kind of giants in our lives. Everybody does. And here's a situation to where it gives us a perfect idea about how to face a situation like this. God makes a difference. So let's read a little bit of this. It says, in the 41st verse, it says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. No, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go back to the 40th verse. It says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Goliath come out of there with all of his size, his experience. He come out of there with his sword, shield, armor. That's what he had. No doubt he had destroyed men in battle. He was a warrior from his youth. He come out there with an expectation. It so belittled him to see somebody so little coming. Send me somebody worthy of my power, experience, something. Give me. And here comes a little ruddy-faced little boy. Youth. Which is important to know. David was not a man come to full strength. He was a youth. It takes something. It makes a difference being a man instead of a boy. But there was something that Goliath didn't come with. He couldn't come with. He brought all of his potential, his ability, his understanding. He brought everything all wrapped up in one gigantic package. Here it comes. And he came with that. And David came in the name of the Lord. All that Goliath had, David had in the name of the Lord. Folks, he is our rock. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our sword. He's our power. He's everything to us. David came with that and said, You come with sword and shield. But I came in the name of the Lord. And everything that you have an expectation for all of this to accomplish for you, I have the same expectation for the name of the Lord to accomplish for me. God can do all of these things. And when you feel like you've got to do something, folks, listen, you don't have to do anything but give it to the Lord. If we could learn this lesson, oh, how it would help us. If we could only learn that there is a God that's able. That God will fight the battles for us. He wants to fight our battles. You know, there's many, many times that the enemy comes and looks overwhelming. Hezekiah, I love the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah got pinned up against the wall. Hezekiah, because of situations in the time he lived in, there was a great Assyrian empire that had risen up. And Sennacherib was the head of that. And here Sennacherib went out throughout the lands conquering the peoples, conquering them. And nobody could stand before his might. Mighty army, mighty warriors. And they went conquering and they conquered everybody. And they got up to Hezekiah. Now it's their turn. So Sennacherib makes his boast. Remember, he comes out there and tells them and he speaks it in their language. I mean, so he wants everybody to know. He even sends a letter to Hezekiah saying, You just won't give up. And I can give you evidence. Do you know everything that there is that Sennacherib told the truth? There was no nation could stand before him. God? He wiped them out one by one. God? Wasn't no God there. No God there. And he come up and he said, told the people, don't let Hezekiah tell you that your God will deliver you. Because that's what the other nations said. And their gods didn't deliver them. And your God's not going to deliver you. So he told Hezekiah, we're coming. What are you going to do about it? Give up. Make it easy. Got this letter. And he takes it in and lays it before the Lord. Under the wings of the cherubims. Goes and lays it on the altar of the Lord. And prays this prayer. Lord, in my, I'm going to put it in my words. Lord, I just got a letter. And I want you to read it. This is what Sennacherib has said and done. Lord, we need your help. There's no other place that we can, nothing we can do. As the old man that I talked to the other day said, what made the difference? Sennacherib conquered all the other lands of the other peoples. Nobody could stand before his power and might. But Hezekiah stood before his power and might. What made the difference? He gave it to the Lord. If you remember the story, there was about 180,000 men died of Sennacherib. Sennacherib went on, and you know what happened to Sennacherib? His own sons assassinated him. He had a great power and force, 180,000 fighting men, had a great force that could conquer and go and conquer. You know, there's things, folks, that you can't control in this life, no matter what you think you are. You don't know. Don't put, me and Brother Marshall talking about this other, don't put all your eggs in the basket of thinking that if I do this, I can live. If I do this, it'll work for me. If I plant fields and they come forth and I have forth plenty and enough that I have to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and then I can say to my soul, I can say that you got much laid up for you. Take your ease. I wouldn't put my eggs in that basket. Don't consider I'm young. Don't consider that I've been healthy. Don't consider all those things. All in one. It's good. It's good to take care of yourself. It's good to live a certain way. But the main thing is whether you got God or not. You got God? It'll make a difference in your life. Made a difference to Sennacherib that Hezekiah had God. Made a difference to Hezekiah. The whole circumstances was changed because God intervened at a man's prayers, at his sincerity, that he lived for God, that he gave it to God. It made a difference that he called upon the name of the Lord. What no other nation could do. You know, Hezekiah could have went out and started politicking, as he said. He could have went to different nations and he could have made leagues and agreements. God never wanted his people to make leagues with Egypt. He never wanted to make leagues with Syria and all those different empires and things. He wanted the people to trust in the name of the Lord. He would be their power and their ability. All over and over they wanted to go and try to get another force and try to do that. And Hezekiah could have done it too, but I want to tell you, what made the difference? God made the difference. There was two thieves hanging on each side of the Lord when he was crucified. One, the Lord said to him, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. And the other man didn't. What made the difference? Right there is an illustration, I think, that the Lord's given us to be able to see a perfect picture. Get the picture in your mind. If you would, get this image. Think about this. Here is Jesus on a cross. The salvation of mankind. Salvation is offered. Jesus is on the cross. And beside him is two men. Both were thieves. Identical men. Right? They don't go into the descriptions other than they were thieves. They were worthy of being put to death. They were murderers. They were thieves. One of them even said to the other, why do you say this? This is a just man. We're thieves. We deserve this. What are you talking like that about him before? Two men. It represents choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. I got a choice. I didn't have a choice. Got an advertising campaign going today. Here's my advertise. Here's the billboard. There's a cross with two thieves on it. And over top of it, it's got God. You got God? One got Him. One didn't. Life is like that. It's full of choices. God makes a difference, folks, in our lives. God will make a huge difference in your life. You want peace? You want satisfaction? You want good things in your life? You want a good experience? God makes a difference in your life. You'll face, everyone in here, more than likely, there is those that go to bed and never wake up. It don't generally happen that way. There are those that's driving down the highway and a truck comes across the median and hits them, and in an instant they're gone into eternity. You'd have to be ready awful fast. For everybody else, there's usually sickness, suffering, and death. And I'd call it a giant, wouldn't you?
Yes.
How are you going to face that? You going to face that by saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Still trust you. Still love you. How are you going to face the giants that you have? Well, David faced his giant in the name of the Lord. He makes a difference, folks. He makes a big difference. Says, this day will I... This 42nd, or 46th verse. This is David talking. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a great warrior named David. That all the world's going to know that there's a new rising world heavyweight champion. And it's me. Well, what was Goliath talking like? I'm the man. You want to be the man? You get a rock between your eyes for being the man. David had no illusions about who was doing what. Do you know, I think David knew that he could have missed that shot. Now listen, I've played a lot of sports. Played a lot of basketball. And I've missed a lot more shots than I've hit. I played a lot of horseshoes, and most of them's not ringers, Brother Marshall. I've thrown a lot of rocks at a lot of things. And I've missed the things more than I've hit them. There's a lot more space around, my dad used to say, than what it takes up. So don't worry about missing. It's easy to miss. It's hard to hit. I think David could have very well said that it's possible my aim would be off. I fought with a lot of things that it took. It takes a lot to do. It takes a lot of skill to do it. You have to do it the same every time when you're doing it. You learn to do it that way. David knew that if he stepped wrong, if he mistimed his sling. I got me a sling one time. I was a little boy practicing. Wasn't trying to think I was David, but it was neat to hurl a stone. I used to love to throw things. Got in trouble in my life more for throwing things than anything else in the world. Went down to the... Oh, we had a front door that had a... It was all a glass. It was... The top end of it was a glass. And there was always a vacuum like in the house, especially in the summertime. Somebody would go close the door, and that door would suck in and slam and... that and children and various things. My dad had replaced the glass in that front door a number of times. So he goes to town and says, he finally said, I'm taking care of that. And he got a big, thick glass and got it in there. He said, I went and got the good glass. They wasn't going to be slamming and breaking like that. Well, I was a little boy and I had me a sling made. And boy, you could throw them rocks. And I went down in front of our house, and Route 2 come up there. I was in the road down there, and there was a little space of land, and the river come across, and then a field over there. And boy, I could wind that thing up, and you could throw a rock. I could throw a rock all the way into the treetops over there, across the river to the field. It was really fun. So I slung up got a rock gone and slung that thing. I said, where'd the rock go? Crash! It glanced off one of our porch posts and went right through Dad's new glass. Mom was in the living room and the glass just went flying through with a stone going through. Wasn't a good day. What I'm saying is you can miss. We're human. We can miss. David said that the all earth would know there's a God. Got God? God can make your rocks fly straight. Your intentions, your purpose. See, David, that represented an intention. What you aim to do. Where you aim to throw it. What you aim to hit. What's your intentions? You know the word sin in the Old Testament meant miss the mark? We put a rock in our sling and we throw it and we miss the mark. That's what sin is. You miss the mark of living right, doing right. The intention of doing good. You have an intention today? You have a desire to want to please the Lord? You need God. It says that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not. Well, what assembly? Isn't that something? David goes up there with the pure purpose of saying, he wasn't saying that everybody around here is going to know that David's the man. He's up and coming. We're going to have to keep our eye on this guy. He's up and coming. This is the guy. We're going to depend on this guy. No. He says that all the assembly would know there's a God. That all of them is going to know there's God. Who? The Philistines, they need to fear. You know who he was mainly talking about, I think? I don't think that this converted the Philistines. God's people. God's people had got into a place that they... You know, they knew the stories too. Why did they doubt that God had led Abraham? And Isaac? Had they doubted the story of Jacob and his conversion to be Israel? Or did they doubt Moses' experience and the parting of the Red Sea? Did they doubt Joshua's experience with the walls of Jericho falling down? Did they doubt the experience of Gideon and Samson? They knew all that. But they didn't have it themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody there had it. Faith in God. Got God? There was one young lad had God, and it changed the course of history. Right there. They had to acknowledge right there that there is a God. Look what happened. Could God have called? Didn't God know about this? Could God not have made? Well, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. So, could God not have made a 12-foot Israelite to dwarf this little fella? So he could have come in and been bigger than him and more powerful? God wasn't interested in glorifying the flesh. That's why he chose David. Because David wasn't going in the flesh. He was going in the name of the Lord. God makes a difference.
Yes, amen.
And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. Oh, Lord, help us to remember the battle is the Lord's. If you'll remember, as you live for the Lord, the battle's the Lord's. Oh, there's something comes against us. Battle's the Lord's. Something comes. Sword and shield's what we grab. But hold it a minute. The battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. The Lord has set this thing up to glorify His name. That's why it was a little ruddy boy against a great giant. Because God wanted the people. They looked and said, this is impossible that this little fella can beat this big fella. It's impossible. When the world looks at us and knowing the nature of humans and knowing the anger, knowing the disposition of how we should act, knowing the selfishness that's in people, knowing all of that that the world, all on the world possesses. It is an amazing thing when some saint overcomes that. And people look on and say, why did they respond that way? How could it be that somebody could respond that way? How could somebody love when they're hated? How could somebody do good in the face of somebody spitting on them or crucify? How could it happen? How could it do it? Battle's not ours. It's the Lord's battle. He can help us to overcome the giants. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slung it. Well, I don't know. It could be. I realize there's a scripture that said that David later had had an army of men, and he had 1,000 left-handed men that could split a hair's breadth with a stone's throw. And I think that was to say, since there's only about 10% of the population left-handed, that if he had 1,000 left-handed men, he must have had a whole bunch of right-handed ones. But that's pretty good throwing. The hair ain't very big. That's accurate throwing. But I don't think that's what this here is about, that David was a good rock thrower. I think he put his hand in the bag and put it in his sling, and he threw the rock for the Lord. Do you know we're not responsible for where the rock lands? But we are responsible for throwing it. The Lord wants us to be willing. Yeah. He wanted us to be willing to take on our giants in faith, in name. But I think it was God that took hold of the rock. You sling it, I'll take it. I think that's a good analogy in our lives too. When we face those things, Lord, I'll do what my responsibility is to do. Help me to be faithful. Help me to stand up. Help me to be the one to go into the battle in the name of the Lord. It made a huge difference. David's experience here made a huge difference to the... we'll read it. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until they come into the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down there by the way. It was a great... Listen, these were guys that were standing up there for 40 days. These were the people up there that were shaking and quivering and not knowing what to do and how are we going to face this. And now they're chasing their enemies. All because someone had God. You say it made a difference? It made a difference, didn't it? Throughout David's life, it made a difference. David had some failures in his life, but God made the difference. So much so that if you read the scriptures, that after David, all the kings of Israel was judged wickedly or righteously. And if they were righteous, it was said that they followed after their father David. They was like their father David. Not that he necessarily was straightly their father, like in the case of Solomon, but after that, that was what the high water mark for kings of Israel was. It's whether they followed in the path of David or they didn't follow in the path of David. It made a huge difference, folks. You need a job, God can make a difference. You need help in your body, God can make a difference. You need an uplift to your spirit, God can make a difference. You need help in any way in your emotions. You need help in your mind. Anything you need help with, God can make a difference in your life. You need help in your relationships, God can make a difference. You need help to know how to make a decision, God can make a difference. You need things to happen. I'm amazed at how many things that in my life of living for the Lord, I've given to the Lord and wait on the Lord, and the Lord work it out till I don't have to do anything. Like He did Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't raise a sword against Sennacherib. They killed each other off because the Lord ordered it. Lord, help us today.
Yes.
Something valuable about living for the Lord. Let's look at Zechariah. Get a little verse here. 4:6 of Zechariah says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." How are you going to accomplish what you need to accomplish? By power? By might? Adam Clark said this, "Not by might or by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. In this way shall my church be raised and preserved. No secular arm, no human prudence, no earthly policy, no suits at law shall ever be used to found, extend, or preserve my church. To build it, to enlarge it, and to keep it will be done by His Spirit."
Yes.
Not by your intellect. I'm going to tell you, in my experience of living for the Lord, especially once I was become a minister, one of the things that get people in trouble the most is thinking they're smart. Thinking they can run things that they ought to leave alone. When they get to this intelligence, this intellect, this learning stuff can be a hindrance when it comes to living for the Lord. It's not by your intellect. It's not by your power. It's not by your ability to get people together. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I can run my own church. I can establish it. I can extend it. And I can preserve it without you messing it up. Lord, help us, if that is true as a generalization or as the church at large goes, then surely it goes for my individual life.
Yes.
That God knows how to found it, extend it, and preserve it.
Yes, thank you.
If I'll just stay out of the way thinking I know what to do with it. God knows what He's doing. Lord, help you and I to realize God makes a big difference in our lives. If we'll let God have His place. You know, I'm of a nature a lot of times, I be honest with you, I do have this problem. I hate to call anybody after a certain hour. I hate to bother people, that kind of thing. And you know, if you're not careful, you get the idea that somehow God's wearied. I'm going to let you in on something. God ain't worried. All right? You're not wearing Him out. You can't wear Him out. He delights in people that have faith in Him. He delights in people that lean on Him. He delights in helping His people, His children. He delights in it. He wants to do it, and it makes such a big difference. You can be preserved from car wrecks. You can be helped in life. You can be given jobs. You can be prayer is answered. God wants to do that for you and I. One other scripture I want to look at is in 20th Psalms. Oh, just one verse. It says in the 7th verse, some trust in chariots. You know, in the days that this was written, the chariot was the modern piece of war equipment. They would get these horses, which was a magnificently powerful animal compared to men, and they would put armor on them, on the horses, and they would pull this two-wheeled buggy chariot behind them, and a man of war would be in there, and when these chariots come, they were awesome bits of war. You know, God never really was interested in Israel going that route. If you read the scriptures, you'll find out that the Lord really didn't even want Israel to have horses. No. Now, you remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? Remember what He rode on? A donkey colt. He didn't ride a magnificent white stallion. He rode a little donkey in. Why? The image was altogether different, wasn't it? But He come in and they hollered Hosanna and threw the palm leaves out. This is a conquering. This is King. But He didn't come in with the big might. There's a reason for that. Some trust in chariots. You can trust in chariots if you want to. But they will let you down. Here's why they let you down. Chariots are great against people. But how do you fight a disease with a chariot? How do you fight hornets? Anybody in here ever get into chiggers? A chariot wouldn't do you a bit of good. Brother Ed Wilson told the story of an escaped convict that got out of jail and he run down there in Louisiana somewhere and run off down there in the South Mississippi somewhere. He run off out and escaped from the pursuit and run out there, and a couple of weeks later he come in with his hands up. Take me back. He had got out there in the briars and the brambles and the chiggers got in to him and got so miserable he just come back and said, I quit. I give up. Take me back. I can't have no more of this. You can trust in chariots, folks, but there's so much of life that you can't. What about the bacteria and the viruses and everything else that mankind has to deal with? What are you going to do with a chariot? Folks, listen. God's God of all.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In all that I find pleasure in, I know that it's seasonal. Understand what I'm saying? I know that I'd be fickle about it. I know that it won't always do what... It may be a pleasant day, and I may enjoy the fishing trip. I may do that. But I know that it ain't lasting. I know that. There's people that trust in a lot of things. There's people that trust in their sports teams to get their satisfactions. Some people trust in the big screens of their TV sets and all these things to get them satisfaction. There's habited internet surfers I've heard about that find satisfaction. All people trust in a lot of different things. But if you're wise, you'll put them in the proper place and trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Yes,
I am. You got God? You need Him. What makes the difference? God. What makes the difference in the way things turn out? God. What makes the difference in the way I turn out towards those things? God. God makes the difference. God, He's available. He's available. Long time ago, He set it up to be that way. He made Himself accessible to you and I, that you, every one of us in here, you don't have to rely on old literature. You don't have to rely on the old preachers. You don't have to rely on any of the preachers. They're there for a work. They're there for edification. They're to be honored for their work's sake. But you don't rely on them. You rely on the Lord.
Yes, that's true.
All those things, you don't have to rely on them because God's made Himself acceptable to every one of us here today. And every one of us can come away saying, I got God.
Yeah,
I got God. He's made a great difference in my life. He has mine. I appreciate the Lord very much. I thank the Lord every day for what He gives us, and even the small things. I'm very thankful for the air and the water, and I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to pray and make a difference. I just thank the Lord today. You pray for me.